Welcome to the first Ale of a Time taster. These short scripted episodes are designed to highlight a brewery and a beer that we appreciate, enjoy, or just think there is some merit in discussing. Today's taster is the Mash Collective Dead East Ale. The Mash Collective is a side project from well-known brewery Stone and Wood. Before we go on, I should include a disclaimer that this was a free sample courtesy of the brewery. The Mash Collective is an ongoing, semi-regular project which brings together people from within beer and outside of beer to brew something meaningful to them. This beer was created with the help of well-known restaurant and cafe owner Jeff Bennett, as well as free surfer Asher Pacey and artist Paul McNeil. The name and colour of this amber ale are influenced by the sunsets experienced at the easternmost tip of Australia and home to Stone and Wood, Byron Bay. I wanted to feature this beer because I've been thinking about Stone and Wood a lot lately. In the wake of the recent buyouts in the industry, Stone and Wood are a brewery who have bought back the stake held by Little Creatures' business arm, Little World Beverages, and indirectly, Lion Nathan. Recently, they made a very public statement about their position on buyouts and ownership. You can find that on their website in their blog section. In addition, they are a brewery who have set their own agenda and style independent of overarching trends in the industry. Their flagship beer, Pacific Ale, has set the tone for modern Australian pale ales, while their darker Jasper Ale and low ABV Garden Ale defy category and sit somewhere between easy-drinking British ales and modern Australian ales. I believe it is something to be admired when a brewery eschews popular trends and goes their own way. The Dead East Ale uses popular US hops Simcoe and Citra, along with experimental hop Crosby No. 6. It has a solid aroma showing dried orange peel, lemon juice and pine with an underlying earthiness. The orange flavours continue through to the palate and dominate without being overwhelming. A spicy finish and lingering toast and biscuit malt flavours give way to a solid bitterness. The tasting notes from the brewery tell me it is approximately 30 to 35 IBU, and I wonder what the combination of malts and new Crosby hop are bringing to the table in terms of perceived bitterness and a little harshness. However, the harshness mellowed as the beer warmed, and once close to room temperature, the orange and earthy flavours opened up into an almost New World ESB-like beer. Things became a lot smoother and a lot more integrated. This is an interesting beer. Overall, it feels like there are one too many ingredients. However, you don't bring together brewers, restaurateurs, surfers and artists to remove ingredients, and these sorts of collaborations often end up as such. To ask for a toned down version probably misses the point. Food match for this would be a granita or some sort of frozen fruit as part of dessert or palate cleanser. Alternatively, it would go great with charred barbecue or smoked beef, as the orange peel and toasted malt would be a perfect foil. I would avoid fish or pork, but it might also work with roasted chicken that has some sort of citrus included. This limited release has been out for almost a month now at time of recording, but you should be able to find it in most good bottle shops around Australia still. Thanks for listening. You can find us at aleofatime.com and me on Twitter at aleofatime. Facebook, facebook.com/aleofatime. Stay tuned for our next full-length episode in the coming week. Also, we want your feedback on this new content. Do you think it's too dry, too long, too short? What do you want to hear from us? Or what would you like to hear us discuss? Should we drop this all together? It's up to you. Email us, luke@aleofatime.com or dave@aleofatime.com.